The title, as was announced, is really a new look at the new moons. And why we say that is because the subject of the new moons is one that has been raised over many years in the church. Many people wonder, what do they mean? What are they for? And you find that there are some teachings about it that, you know, are not really reflective of what the scriptures say about it. And if we do not teach and explain, then one is likely to gravitate towards, you know, just what they're hearing. And for that reason, I just want to go through this presentation. The new moons are of significance in the scripture. And it is one that many have been looking for the answers to. We see, for example, in the scriptures, occasions on which the observance of the new moon is placed on par with the observance of the Sabbath. That is very clear in the scripture. Also on par with the observance of the feast days. And the question is, what do they represent? So today, as we delve into the scriptures, I just want to take you through there. In the Church of God, in the Church of God International, we have presented the new moons, correctly so, as the points from which we calculate the feast days. And that is a correct position. But we have not delved enough to explain the very many occurrences of the new moons in the scriptures. And so I was able to share with the ministerial council of the church, you know, the presentation that I would be making today, and to just to get, you know, and them to look it through to see whether there were any inconsistencies with the scriptures or, you know, with the teachings of the church. And I'm very pleased that the reply that came was that this is very much spot on. So I want you to be able to not think of this simply as a kind of, you know, one-way presentation, but a presentation which is helping to develop and enhance and embolden the teachings of the church. So why is it important for us to do a study on new moons? Well, if you go to the scriptures and you go, for example, to Colossians 2:16, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn there. You will see that this is one of the scriptures that we use to prove that the Sabbath is to be observed and the holy days are to be observed. So we use Colossians 2:16 in that way. Very often, whenever we are doing presentations on the holy days or the Sabbath, we go to Colossians 2:16 to show what Paul says there and to show that he was encouraging the church to keep the Sabbath and to keep the feast days. That is what Colossians 2:16 is for. But when you read it, new moons is also mentioned in Colossians 2:16. Let's look at it. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So we explain that it is confirming the observance of the Sabbath. We explain that it is confirming the observance of the festivals, but new moon is there also. So for someone to really punch holes into our teachings, they could say, okay, so you observe Sabbath and you observe the holy days, and you are saying that this is the text, one of the texts that you use to show it, but they also say new moons. So how do you explain that? Where do you observe the new moon? Is it to be observed? So that is one of the reasons why it is important that we pay attention. Because you are a keeper of the God's Sabbath. You are a keeper of God's holy days. And you will go out to talk to others to say, I keep these things. What if a question is thrown at you? So, do you keep the new moons? Then you probably say, well, I wonder, you know, and probably go around the bush a little bit. It doesn't stop there. Go to Isaiah 66 in verse 23. We use Isaiah 66 and verse 23 to prove that the Sabbath will be kept after Christ returns. That is why we say, look, the Sabbath is not something that is abolished. Because look at here, when Christ returns, the Sabbath will be observed. But new moons are also mentioned. Let's read it. Isaiah 66:23 says, and it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship me, says the Lord. So here you are seeing that the joining up of new moon and Sabbath and new moon and holy days, it is important that we be edified, that we grow in understanding about these events that occur in the scripture. So what is the meaning of new moon? And why is it equated with the Sabbath and the feast days? And on what basis can we say we refuse to keep it when we see how it is paired with the feasts and the Sabbath that we keep? So the first question to answer is, what are new moons? That's what we need to do to explain what they are. And in the scriptures, the Hebrew word Kodesh is what is used there as new moons. On every occasion when this Hebrew word is used, that terminology, new moon, when it is used, on every occasion, the word Kodesh is used there. Or you could say Rosh Kodesh. And some pronounce it Hodesh, H-O, instead of K. But it refers, to the new moons. The first lesson to learn about new moons is that the biblical new moons, what the Bible talks about, they do not occur, as many believe, 12 times per year. They actually occur during God's holy year, God's sacred year. That's the first thing. So right away, it throws out this thing about every month. Because the silver crescent appears that you're keeping this new moon. That's not what the scriptures teach. In other words, it runs from the time of Nisan to Tishri, or from Passover to Tabernacles, if you want to get the sense. So that's where new moons belong. That's the first thing to understand. The second thing to understand, and let us turn first of all to Exodus 12 to clarify that, to clarify the fact that these new moons fall within a particular period of time. And in Exodus 12 and verse 2, there is where God revealed the new moon, the observance of the new moon to Israel. And also he explained that this was the beginning of their year. So let's look at that. Exodus 12, 2. God said to Israel, this month shall be your beginning of months. Speaking of Nisan, which is Abib. And the word used there for the month is Kodesh. So what God is saying here, when you translate or get the Greek understanding of the beginning of months, is the beginning of new moons. Is the beginning of your new moons. That's what is being said there. So when you see in the Bible, this is the beginning. Now you know when new moon starts. New moon starts in the month of Abib or Nisan. That is what is being taught there. So, if that is the beginning of a month, he goes on, he says, it shall be the first month, or it shall be the first new moon. The same word, Kadesh. So just make a note of that word. Because where you're seeing month here, it is Kadesh, new moon. It will be the first new moon unto you. And it goes on of the year to you. So in other words, he's talking about a year, and he's saying this will be the first month of the year. So God is talking about a year. He's talking about the year beginning with the new moon. And so at least we can understand when God's sacred year begins. It begins with this new moon, and it begins, of course, as I said, in the month of Abib. So this is the first teaching to the Israelites about the new moon. Now, if you go with me now to Exodus 23 and verse 16, we see there where God begins the year, but we want to know now, when does God end the year? So God's year has a beginning and it has an end. And it begins with new moon, and it ends also with the seventh new moon. So what we're looking at here is that it says, picking up in verse 16, it says, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. He's speaking about the feast of God. He refers to the feast of harvest. And the feast of ingathering, that's the feast of tabernacles, at the end of the year. Notice that in verse 16 of Exodus 23. So now you see him talking about the beginning of your year in Exodus 12. And here you're seeing in Exodus 23, he is speaking about the end of the year. So the boundary of God's year runs with his festivals, from Nisan with Passover to Tabernacles, which ends the period of the year. So this is the sacred year of God, from Nisan to Tishri. Tishri is a month in which Tabernacles is kept. Okay? So Nisan to Tishri. And that is the range, the span of God's holy calendar. And that is a period within which he talks about new moon. So beginning of the year, when you see those terminologies, and end of the year, or beginning of your months and end of your months, the terminologies like that, when God is speaking to his people, he's speaking in the context of the time that he has defined for them as the beginning and the end of the year. There's something that is important to understand. It's not a 12-month period of time to which it refers. Now, if you go to Numbers 28:11, this now helps you to understand what Numbers 28:11 is saying. Because in Numbers 28, you see it says here in verse 11, at the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. So, okay, now you understand what he's talking about. Because he said to them, this will be the beginning of months to you. So when you see that in Numbers, you don't believe that it is talking about all of the months. It's the months that God already defined and he gave to them to observe. So at the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. Verse 14. This is the burnt offering for each month. Okay? So each month, meaning each of the months that falls within God's sacred calendar, throughout the months of the year. Don't confuse that with just the regular year, because God defines the time of worship. And these are worship periods that we are talking about, that he is referring to. So we have seen, therefore, that when it comes to new moons, you don't think about 12 times a year. It really is a designated observance that God locks into his holy calendar. Now, to get a little bit more on that, you'll see in Exodus 23 and verse 14, when God says, listen to how he speaks about a year now. He says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. That is his feasts in the year. Those feasts fall within the sacred year. So when he says three times, you're to keep a feast to me in the year, he's talking about that holy year. That is also important to understand. You look in verse 17 of Leviticus 23. And it says, three times in the year, all your males shall appear before me, before the Lord. So here again, he's speaking about his festivals and the year, which is the sacred year of God. All those things are to be understood. So that is the first thing to understand. Don't be confused about, 12 months a year. Think about God's definition, God's calendar. He said this is the first month, meaning this is the first new moon. And then he takes you up to the seventh, which is the end of the feast, when the Feast of Tabernacles come. That brings you to the seventh month of the year. Now, the second thing to understand about new moons is that the terminology new moon is not used in the same way throughout Scripture. It is used with different meanings. It is used in different meanings in the way the word Israel does not mean the same thing throughout Scripture. The word Israel is used with different meanings. For example, Israel means a person, Jacob. Israel also means a nation, the nation of Israel. Israel also means the land of Israel. Israel also means the church. So you cannot just look at Israel and just say, and just stick with just one of its meanings. You have to understand the multiple ways in which the word is used. Similarly is the word new moon, the terminology new moon. It is not used in just one singular way. New moon in the scripture means the beginning of months when the crescent, silver crescent of the moon appears. That is one of the references. It also means the whole month. It means the whole month of 29 or 30 days. So new moon is used that way too. And it also means high holy day, the feast days of God. So it is used in three ways in the scriptures. And that is what I'm going to take you through in order to show you the instances, or at least examples of the instances when it is used in the different ways. So the first is the use of new moon as just the beginning of the month. Numbers 28:11, where we went a while ago, gives you that. Or you go back to Exodus 12, verse 2, where we showed you that. That the beginning of the month, when you look at the rendition of it, the translation of it from the Hebrew, that is the Kodesh. And it is speaking about the new moon. So Nobody disputes that that is a beginning, that is new moon, because everybody knows that, you know, that is when the month begins, the Hebrew month begins, and, you know, that's when the silver crescent is shown. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on that one. But we agree that that is one meaning of it. The second one is the use of it to mean the whole month, where it is the entire 29 days or 30 days as a month may be. And if you read through from verses 11 to verse 14 of Numbers 4, you will see the references there to the month, the whole month. So that what you are looking at is that God says, this month, let me give you for example, look in verses 4 to 5 of Exodus 13. Let me just give you that as one of the examples, where the whole month is being referred to. Exodus 13, verses 4 to 5. It says, today, in the month of Abib, that is Kadesh. It's not talking about the beginning of the month. It's talking about the whole month of Abib. And the terminology there, today, in the month of Abib, that is new moon. You are leaving. And it goes on, verse 5 says, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites, and so on, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, and a land of milk and honey and so on, he says, you are to observe this ceremony in this month, meaning the whole month, referring to the whole month, in this month. That is new moon. So in this new moon, that is the use of the term month, along with Kadesh. Now, those two are easy to understand, but the third use of it is really where we're going to spend some time. And that is to show that it really also refers to God's high holy days. And I asked you to turn, first of all, to Ezekiel 46. And verse 1. And there you will see how the new moon is designated as a Sabbath and a sacred assembly. So this is now in another category. In the book of Numbers, where it speaks about new moons, if you go into Numbers 28 and you read through for a while, you will see where God speaks about the daily sacrifices, the monthly sacrifices, the weekly sacrifice, and that is a Sabbath. And then it goes on to the sacrifices for the high holy days in the book of Numbers. So what you'll notice there is that in the daily sacrifices, that is not a high holy day. The monthly sacrifices, that is not a holy day or sacred assembly. Is when you begin to get to the Sabbath, you begin to see where he says, this is a sacred assembly. You must hold it. And it is when he gets to the other feasts, the annual feasts, he said, these are sacred assemblies. So Leviticus 28 is a very good place to go in order to see how that is laid out. But here, you are seeing in Ezekiel 46:1 that new moons are actually sacred assemblies. Look at this. Thus says the Lord, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut 6 days. The 6 working days. but on the Sabbath it shall be opened. Notice, all the other days it is to be shut, but on the Sabbath it is to be opened. Then look on. And on the day of the new moon, that's Kodesh again, it shall be open. So notice, the days that are not Sabbaths, it is closed, the working days. But on the Sabbath, the week of Sabbath, and on the day of the new moon, it is to be opened. The new moon here is being placed on par with the Sabbath, just the way we saw it in Isaiah, and just the way we saw it in Colossians. And then he goes on in verse 3, likewise, the people of the land shall worship in the entrance of this gateway before the Lord on Sabbaths and on new moons. That's in verse 3. So you're seeing now worship. New moons have to do with worship. And God is speaking of that. But we know that this is not the new moon that is the beginning of months. It's not the one which is the beginning of months. Because when you go back to Numbers, and you see God lining up the days, the daily offering, the monthly offering, the weekly offering, and so on, you're seeing that that those are not sacred assemblies. But here you are seeing new moons being used in the sense of sacred assemblies in Ezekiel. Where I took you before, Ezekiel 46, verse 1. So that is very interesting. We're going to continue to look some more. So why is that? Consider this. Consider that God is lining out all of the time for the year when the temple, when worship is taking place in the temple. And all that he mentions there in verses 1 to 3 of Ezekiel 46 is the Sabbath and the new moons. You don't see him mention the feast days. He does not mention feast days. Yet we know that God's feast days are held in the temple. They are part of what are held during the year. God commands it. That should give you a clue as to where I'm going. So step down with me now to verse 9 of Ezekiel 46. Ezekiel 46 and verse 9. And now you're going to see, God is going to be speaking about them, now the sacrifices, because in verses 1 to 3, he was talking about, you know, when they coming in and out of the temple, you know, during the time of worship. He's continuing that same discussion, and he's now going to tell them about the sacrifices for those same days. The same days that he spoke about in verses 1 to 3. But now you're going to be seeing where he's now talking about appointed feasts. But he's not now talking about new moons. In verses 6 to 9, you see he's now making reference to feasts. But he doesn't say anything about new moons. But he also speaks about the Sabbath. So he speaks about the Sabbath, verses 1 to 3. He speaks about the Sabbath, verses 9 to 12. But then he speaks about new moons, and then he's speaking about feasts. Why is this? We'll talk about that, but let's read it first. When the people of the land, this verse is 9 to 12 now of Ezekiel 46. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feasts, whoever enters by the north gate to worship, so that is worship. Remember in 1 to 3 was worship. Is to go out the south gate. Verse 11. At the festivals and the appointed feasts, he repeats again, the grain offering is to be an ephah, and he goes through now, and he tells you what the grain offering is to be and what the animal offering and so on is to be. And then in verse 12, he says, he shall offer this burnt offering on, or his fellowship offering, as he does on the Sabbath day. So notice in these three verses, 9 to 12, he makes references to the appointed feasts of the Lord, and he makes reference to the Sabbath. He does not make any reference to new moon. Yet we know it is one discourse from verses 1 to 12. Why is this happening? What is happening here is that you are now understanding that an alternate name for new moons are festivals. It's not another set of worship that God is introducing there in verses 12. Because all that he's saying is, he's just talking about the sacrifices that are to be held during the times of worship. So it is just as how I would say to you that, you know, you are to come to services on the Day of Atonement is important. And when you come on the day of the fast, you are supposed to do so and so and so. I am utilizing the terminology Day of Atonement, and I'm utilizing the terminology the fast, but we know it is one and the same day to which we are referring. So when God refers to new moon in one sense, and he refers to festivals in the other sense, as you go along, you'll see. That is why you do not see him referring to the feast days when he refers to the festivals. No. When he refers to the new moon. No. We are also going to look at when God speaks about your festivals, your new moon, and your Sabbath. What does it mean then? Because we'll also go there. But what I'll tell you, just in order that you don't now be caught up and not thinking with me and thinking about that, let me just explain. Because the festivals of God, the three festivals, annual festivals, spoken about in Exodus 23, when God says three times a year, you must appear before me. Those festivals, they are speaking about the whole festival, the whole season. And the Hebrew word used for that is shag, C-H-A-G, I think, is the way it's spelled. Shag. That refers to those three festivals as a whole. But the individual holy days that fall within the festivals, those are what we are calling the feast days that are being referred to. So I want us to understand. So when you see the terminology, the feasts or festival, new moon and Sabbath, it is really referring to, one, the three feasts of the Lord, Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, right? The holy days is what new moons mean. These are the high holy days. New moons and the Sabbath, the week of Sabbath. When you see those three terms, we are going to go into it later, but I just want to give you that sense so that we are together as we move along. So what we're seeing here is that in Ezekiel 46, God is talking about worship in the temple for the whole year. And what we're seeing is that he's speaking about the entirety of it when he speaks about the Sabbath and new moons. He doesn't have to mention feasts because new moons are feasts. And when he's speaking about it in the sacrifices and he uses the word terminology feasts, he doesn't use the term new moon. Because those are not the feast days. Those would be a repetition of the feast days. So he doesn't have to use it. So that is the sense that we have to understand. We're going to go deeper into this. Because what this proves is that new moons and feast days are one and the same thing. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 5. We are showing from the scriptures that the terminology new moons is used for feast days, God's feast days as well. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 5. And this is where you know the story where David was hiding from Saul in the field. He thought Saul would have wanted to kill him and he didn't want to turn up. In verse 5 of 1 Samuel 20, it says, "And David said to Jonathan, 'Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon.'" Ah. You know what that does? It knocks down the idea that you have to go and sight the moon first before you can know it is a new moon. Because already they can stay and say, "Tomorrow is the new moon." You don't have to wait. That's the first thing that you're seeing here. Otherwise, they could not say tomorrow is a new moon. The fact that you can say tomorrow is a new moon means that today you can know if tomorrow is a new moon. And notice the word used for new moon there, you can make a note of it again, is Kodesh, the same Kodesh. So he says, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat." I should not fail means it is something that I am obligated to do. So there is an eating that is going to take place, that I am required to be there, and it is occurring on the new moon. Tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. You're seeing that there. It goes on. "But let me go, that I may hide in the field until the third day of evening." So, what is being noticed here is that he is going to wait until 2 days pass. 2 days have passed. And he will turn up on the third day. Okay. We are into 1 Samuel. It's there, right. In the evening. So, hiding in the field, because he says he'll hide in the field. Hiding in the field portray, this is not exact now, but possibly, that this could have been sometime during the spring festivals, the wheat harvest, when he says he's going to hide in the field. It suggests that it's during the time of the grain harvest. Step down to verse 24. It says, "Then David hid in the field. And when the new moon," that's the Kodesh, "had come, the king sat down to eat the feast." So there's a feast going on here. And the feast is called new moon. Verse 26. "Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something had happened to him," because David had not turned up. And look at what he thought might have happened to him, why he did not turn up. "He is unclean." Notice those words. Because you cannot enter the temple if you are in a state of uncleanness. And that uncleanness, you know what it says about women and what it says about men entering into the temple in a state of uncleanness. And therefore, it is a holy time. That is the point. It is a holy time. Because it means that the only legitimate reason he could not turn up to this feast is because he's unclean. On the new moon. So you are seeing it being brought together here. What new moons are being portrayed as. Times of worship, holy time. We go on. Verse 27. And it happened the next day. The second day of, it says, the month, which is Kadesh, which means the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So it's happening again. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come out either yesterday or today? Which means it's 2 days of feasting. Now, do we know of any feasts in the scriptures where 2 consecutive days? When? Yes, it happens to, you could say, Passover and first day of unleavened bread. Yes? So we have instances. So here it is that these observances are being called new moon. They're being referred to as new moon. So you're seeing there again that new moon is also used not only for the beginning of months and the whole month, but it is also used for times of worship. But the times of worship, when you utilize the term new moon to refer to times of worship, is referring to the feasts. It's referring to the feasts that God gives. Turn with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. For more. Because now what you're going to see is what we call Hebrew parallelism, where the new moon is being referred to as a full moon. And you know what full moons are? Full moons are the times when the feasts, for example, the feast of unleavened bread, on the 15th of the month, Tabernacles is on the 15th. So now we are seeing that this here is a full moon. So what we're going to look at now is how you're seeing the terminology new moon being transferred to full moon. Psalm 81 verse 1. Sing aloud to the Lord, or strength. Make a joyful shout to the Lord of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp, with a flute. Then verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, comma, at the full moon, on your solemn feast days. What is being, you're looking at here, is what is called Hebrew parallelism. Hebrew parallelism is the use of one phrase that has the same meaning as the phrase that follows it. So, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a guide unto my path, is explaining that the word is the same thing. A lamp unto my feet and a guide unto my path is speaking about the same thing. And there are many other examples of parallel meanings that are being utilized, that are utilized in the scriptures. I didn't pull them together. But that is just an example. So it is saying here, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast days. So the new moon is the terminology being applied to the time of the full moon, which is the feast days. This is another example that you're seeing there. So, what it does is this helps us to understand that this was a high holy day. And what holy day would it be? What holy day could it possibly be? Well, verse 4. Let's go down to verse 4. We're of the same Psalm 81, verse 4. For this, meaning the blowing of the trumpet at the full moon. He's referring to it now. He's going to explain about the blowing of the trumpet at the full moon. For this is a statute to Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This blowing of the full moon, of the trumpet at the time of the full moon, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went through out the land of Egypt. So it is very much telling you, this is at the time of the Passover and unleavened bread. Because it is telling you when it was established and the circumstances in which it was established. It was established in Joseph. It was established as a law. It was established when they went throughout the land of Egypt. And we can see, therefore, the relevance of that explanation of the blowing of the trumpet at the time of the full moon, at the time of the new moon, the full moon, which follows it. So we see those examples. Now turn with me to Amos 8, and verse 4. We are showing in the scriptures numerous examples in which new moon is used to refer to times of solemn assembly, and that those solemn assemblies are God's feast days. Amos 8:4. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat? You notice that. When will the new moon be passed, that we can sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat? Pretty much the same thing. So, in other words, you're not permitted. But it mentions the Sabbath. So we know it is not the week of Sabbath that is the new moon. But we know, notice, it does not say anything here about the feast day. Notice when it is talking about this. It doesn't say where will the Sabbath go and where, you know, that we can sell and the new moon that we may trade wheat or the annual Sabbath. It doesn't refer to that. It just refers to the Sabbath and the new moon. Yet we know that God teaches in the scriptures that on his holy days, his annual Sabbaths, you're not supposed to carry out those works. Again, notice the high holy days are not mentioned. That is because the terminology new moon is what refers to the high holy days. In every instance where the feast days, the high holy days, are mentioned, along with the Sabbath, you don't see new moon. And when you see new moon mentioned with the Sabbath, you don't see high holy days. You don't see annual Sabbaths. That is because you can use either term to refer to the feast days. That is really what it is. Look in 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 23. And there, you're seeing, again, you're talking about Sabbath and new moon. You're not seeing high holy days. It says, this is the Shunammite woman whose son had died. And her husband was rushing to go to Elijah. And her husband said to her, why are you going to him today, going to Elijah today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. Because normally they would have evidently gone to the temple. That's where they expected he would have been. And he said, don't go today. Nothing is going on there today. It's neither new moon or Sabbath. You don't see anything about holy day, about the annual Sabbath mentioned. Because, as we say, it's because you will see, whenever you see the holy day Sabbath, you're not going to see new moon mentioned either. So the phrase festivals, new moons, and Sabbath that you see throughout the scriptures, it is repeated about 8 times in the scriptures. You'll see it in Colossians 2:16, if you want to make a note. You'll see it in 2 Chronicles 2 verse 4. The terminology where you have all three. Festivals, new moons, Sabbaths. You'll see it in 2 Chronicles 31 verse 3. In Nehemiah 10 verse 33. In Ezekiel 45 verse 17. In Hosea 2 verse 11. In Isaiah 1 verses 13 to 14. And what you will see in all of those places is where the feasts, the new moon, and the Sabbath are referred to as a package covering all of God's holy days. All of God's worship days, all of God's sacred assemblies. That's what you're seeing there. Now, what I'm going to show to you is that in this combination, that what is referred to as feasts is not the high holy days. It is the three festivals, as I said earlier. And so, I'm going to take you, first of all, to Exodus 23, verse 14, to show you where, when you see the word feasts, along with new moons and Sabbath, that word feast is not referring to the high holy days. It's referring to the three annual festivals. Let's look at it, first of all, in Exodus 23, 14. God says, three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. That is what it is referring to. The three. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, and it goes on. And then it goes on to tell you about the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Ingathering. Right? The Feast of Harvest and the Feast of Ingathering. So those are the three feasts. Okay? So when you see that, and then it says three times a year you're to appear before the Lord. So now you are seeing something here, that when you see the word feasts in this combination of three things, as you see in Colossians 2:16, where a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath, that festival is referring to the three feasts. It's not referring to the high holy days. The new moon is what is referring to the high holy days. And the Sabbath. You want a little more clarification on that? Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 8, verse 13. That clears it up. 2 Chronicles 8 and verse 13. Listen to this now. According to the daily rate offering, it's talking about the offerings and so on, according to the commandment of Moses, for the Sabbath, the new moon, and the three appointed yearly feasts. Okay? Notice now, this is now breaking it out for us. You're seeing the three things being mentioned, but it is now telling you what the three feasts are, what the feast is. You're seeing Sabbath, you're seeing new moon, and for the first time now, you're seeing what feast is. It's the three appointed yearly feast. So when you see the combination of Sabbath, new moon, and feast, that word feast is referring to the three appointed yearly feasts. And then look at it. It continues. It explains. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. That seals it. That brings it home. That removes the confusion. When you go to Colossians 2:16, you are seeing there the festival, the new moon, the Sabbath. The festival there represents the three yearly feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Passover. And new moons is what represents the high holy days. So, with this kind of an explanation, we are able to differentiate and to understand why these feasts are called new moons. But why are they called new moons? Let's explain a little further. Why are these feasts called new moons? Go back to Leviticus 23, where they are outlined. And you will see the association between new moons and these feasts. Why they are called new moons. Let's look at it. Look in Leviticus 23. We start in verse 4, because it's where now the festivals are going to start being listed. And it says, these are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. So the appointed times, we're going to see what those appointed times are. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first, look at that word, month. That is Kodesh, that is new moon. In Leviticus 23. It is the 14th of the new moon. The festivals of God are dated based on the new moon. And so it says the 14th of the new moon. So therefore, it is a festival. So the festival of the new moon. In other words, you have the new moon at the beginning of the new moon. You have the new moon in terms of the whole month. And you have the new moon in terms of the festivals. And the festivals of the new moon are dated. So when you see the 14th of the first month is the 14th of the first new moon. Look at your, anyone has a translation there? Look in there. Look at the word month there. And see if it's what it says. The 14th of what? Kodesh. And what does Kodesh mean? You have it there? That's right. That's what it is. So that's how, that is why the festivals can be referred to as new moons. Because it is the first festival is on the 14th of the new moon. The next one is on the 15th of the new moon. And you go on. You go to verse 6. On the 15th day of that new moon, that's the word month again, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. Now you're understanding how new moon is wrapped up, you know, with these feasts. Verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh new moon, that's Kodesh. That's new moon. That word there that you see as month. So the Hebrew people, when they were reading these things, they were always reading it. Kodesh, new moon. That is why they could, it could be referred, the Bible can refer to it as new moon, and they understand. It goes on. If you look down in verse 26, it says, verse 27, it says, the 10th day of this seventh new moon is the day of atonement. This Kodesh of atonement. So the festivals are new moon festivals. That's what they are. They are festivals of the new moon. The 14th of the new moon. The 15th of the new moon. That is why new moon is utilized in that way. So when people ask us if we observe the new moon, Of course we do. We do. But do you understand what new moon is? So this teaching about new moon being 12 times and you're going at the beginning to the kind of thing is not what your Bible teaches. New moon fall within God's holy calendar, the 7-month period, not a 12-month period. And new moons are a reference, as far as their assemblies, refer to God's holy day. New moon also refers to the beginning of the month when the crescent is shown. And the Bible shows you that for that occurrence and for the occurrence of the month, the offerings, how did it is written there in Numbers 28, if you read it, you'll see where there are some sacrifices that were given. There are some sacrifices that were to be offered on a daily sacrifice. There were daily sacrifices during the time of the holy calendar. Because see, God's holy calendar is a special time. When it begins, when Nisan begins, see, from now, right up until Tabernacles, is a very special time designated by God. God's holy year. God's holy period. And God separates us from the world by giving us this designated time, this designated period in which he operates these festivals that pertain to the salvation plan. And so, as we go through, we are now in the Feast of Weeks, and we are coming up to the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost occurs 2 Sundays from today, I think. 2 Sundays away from today. That day is actually a date of the new moon of the month, of the Kodesh. That is really how it is calculated in there. So how do we observe then these other aspects where you see that you must do so much sacrifice and you just do so much sacrifice on the daily one and on the monthly one and so on, because they all are pertaining to new moon. They're all pertaining to new moon. These we just spoke about are the sacred assemblies. But how do you do, for example, the very beginning of the month when the crescent is shown, or that is the beginning of the month, or when, you know, the daily offerings are to be made. In Numbers 28, it speaks about the offering of sacrifices. But how do Christians today offer sacrifices? How are sacrifices offered? Does the Bible tell us? The Bible explains how we do it. First of all, we know that the sacrifices of the Old Testament all pertain to Jesus Christ. That's the first thing we know. And we know that Christ is the eternal sacrifice that covers all sacrifices. So therefore, in the book of Hebrews, it explains to us the sacrifices are no more. The sacrifices, because the blood of bulls and goats and all the rest of it, it all pertained to Christ. These are the things that are abolished. The circumcision is circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Because what God speaks about now is the circumcision of the heart. These are the things that we must delve into. And so, the Bible now tells us in the New Testament about sacrifices. What does it say in Romans 12:1? Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. During these holy days, all of it, beginning from Nisan, all the way to Tabernacles, there's a special mode that God's people must be in. God understands that we have many things, just like what he says, 6 days you shall do your work, on the seventh day you are for the Lord. God knows that during the year you do many, many things, but when the sacred period comes, we had better get into a new mode. We'd better look forward now to know that we are going through this period which God has designated, which he says three holy feasts occur to them. Seven high holy days occur during that period. And therefore we understand why we go to these feasts. It says here that in Philippians 2 and verse 17, that we are poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service. In Philippians 2:17, if you read it. In other words, we are being likened onto a drink offering. So these drink offerings and these grains and these things, we know. And that is why living a sacrificial life where we can give up those things that are holding us up and holding us back, and they are our bad habits. We are not living that sacrificial life for Jesus Christ. When we just say, God will forgive. Because that's what the world teaches. Oh, God is a loving God. Oh, he's a merciful God. Why are you born? Are you a salvation of works? Just have faith. No, you had better live up to that life. And give up those things. You and me. We need to do that. Psalm 51:17 explains, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So there is a way to live during the holy days. So on your new moon and so on, your prayers must be there, because prayer is also one of your sacrifices. Because the whole period is holy, from the beginning of the new moons to the seventh new moon, a completely holy period, different from the rest of your 12-month period that God has given to us. And therefore, we must learn to live in accordance with God's way. Sacrifice of praise is spoken about in the scriptures. And it says also in... it is also speaking in the scriptures about to do good, to share with others and so on. Those kind of sacrifices where we give up our, you know, what belongs to us and so on. And we do these things. So, it is absolutely clear from the scriptures that when the scriptures speak about festival, new moon, and Sabbath, festival refers to the three annual Sabbaths, the three annual feasts of God. Feast of harvest, feast of Passover, feast of in gathering or tabernacles. Those are the three feasts. New moons are the high holy days referred to in Leviticus 23, which are named after the Kodesh. And when you go back through Leviticus 23 again, every time you come across the word month in Leviticus 23, bear in your mind, what is saying here is new moon. What is saying here is Kodesh. So, therefore, God's feasts are new moons. They are the Kodesh of God. I trust that this will be of some help in clarifying that bit of confusion that is raised from time to time, and that we can really observe God's new moons in the way the scriptures speak about it. We, of course, continue to grow in the faith. We don't sit down and just say, you know, Mr. Armstrong didn't teach this, therefore we are not going to teach it. We don't do those things. Mr. Armstrong, we don't hold up Mr. Armstrong the way the Seventh-day Adventists hold up Ellen G. White, or the Mormons hold up Joseph Smith. Mr. Armstrong was a very ordinary man that God called and gave him the gospel to preach at the end time, and he did, and he did his work, and I just pray that all of this abound to his being in the God's kingdom. Very good. And that is wonderful. But you can't stop and say, we don't canonize Mr. Armstrong. what we do is we continue to dig and search the scriptures. For in it there is life. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And come up with more understanding. Don't just sit one place all the way. Because there's a world out there seeking to tear you down. And we must always be ready to give an answer. A defense for the faith that was given unto us. May God bless you.